Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but as a Christian, you keep finding your beliefs under some kind of microscope. Yes, you get interrogated frequently with questions from skeptics, doubters, and also sincere seekers. Well, my friend, it's important to answer questions, especially when the questions we receive are good ones and fair. But as it happens, there are also questions you yourself can ask to challenge the worldview of others. Now, we explored one of those questions on a previous show, and we will explore another popular one today. It's good to be back with you. If you subscribe to this daily Monday through Friday podcast, you obviously discover that we skipped a few days, so it wasn't Monday through Friday. My wife and I were out of town on vacation, so new podcasts were not being sent out at that time, with one exception. On my Sunday evening broadcast show, Mike Friedenberg of National Review substitute hosted for me, doing his usual excellent job. Mike usually comes on as a guest. This time he was substitute hosting. And of course, as we generally do, that broadcast program was sent out as a podcast the following Monday morning. The podcast version of the Sunday broadcast show is part of the subscription package, along with, as you have noticed by now, another program on the CGM Radio Network called Crosstalk, in which I and three other CGM hosts combine to discuss the latest news and other subjects. Those are not Bob Siegel shows technically, but since I am a part of the program, we do send it out to Bob Siegel Show subscribers. Crosstalk is also sent to those who subscribe to JP on JP's Political Matrix, to those who subscribe to Ryan Holland of World News Brief, and Jim Barrier of Since You Asked is also a host on Crosstalk. Just thought I'd issue that reminder in case any of you have been saying to yourselves, "Hey, I thought I was supposed to get the Bob Siegel Show. What the hey? Just what is this here Crosstalk stuff?" Well, it's kind of my show, kind of not my show. Four shows combined, actually. Okay, enough business. All to say that today I'm back, and today we want to continue from where we left off on a program last week. That program was called Three Questions That Challenge Bible Skeptics. It was episode 91, if you're looking for it on the list. Three Questions That Challenge Bible Skeptics. As I continue today, I'm going to begin with a very quick personal story. Now, this was years ago. I was having lunch out at Arizona State University with an undergrad, and she asked me, "What year did you live out here?" Yes, like I said, I was having lunch actually with a few college students, but it was one of them who asked me this question. These students represented campus ambassadors, an on-campus fellowship, and the same group had invited me out from San Diego to do some outdoor evangelism in the free speech area. The event went well. Many people gathered around. It wasn't a preachy thing. It wasn't a hellfire and brimstone thing. It was a time just to answer questions. But a lot of people will go to those things who wouldn't go to some kind of concert or church service if you invite them. So here we are, out by the fountain in what is supposed to be the university's free speech area, and people are asking me questions. They're firing them all over the place. How can a loving God exist if there's so much suffering in the world? Or what makes the Bible truer than the Quran? What makes the Bible truer than the Bhagavad Gita? I had once lived in Tempe, Arizona, doing local ministry on this very same campus. And now a young lady was asking me exactly when that was. I replied, "From 1977 to 1979. In a very casual manner, she responded, "Oh, I wasn't even born yet." Okay. Needless to say, her lightning-laced statement struck me back into reality. Having been on campuses ever since I was a college student myself, I tended to think of students as peers, even though I was now at that time I was already 46 years old with two college-age offspring of my own. Ladies and gentlemen, I just got to tell you, walking outside after lunch and looking at the quad and pondering, I said to myself, when I lived out here, none of these people even existed. And yet, they asked the exact same questions that their parents did, some of them just as arrogantly. How can a loving God send people to hell? Why does Jesus claim to be the only way to God? What about all those people in remote parts of the world who never heard of Jesus? Yes, as I said last time, they are good questions. We should welcome questions. But I would like to see Christians also get in the habit of raising their own questions, challenging skeptics to reconsider their own worldviews. Now, I explained what I meant by worldview on the last program in this series. Also, last time, I mentioned Socrates, the philosopher who lived centuries before the outbreak of Christianity. In his dialogues, handed down to us by his disciple Plato, we see Socrates arguing effectively. I know people don't like the word argue these days. It was done in a civil way, as it can be today, a civil way, but arguing nevertheless by constantly asking questions of his debate opponent. We see three questions that Socrates came back to constantly, or at least a variation of one of the three. The first of the three questions of Socrates, what do you mean? That was discussed in part one of this brief series. Today, we look at a second question. How do you know? How do you know? This question is similar to the first because it is also very simple. Here, you are being a good journalist who asks questions, who will not print the story without verification. I've mentioned before the kinds of things secular college students learn about Christianity from their religious studies classes. I've told you that the last thing I want to see somebody do when they get into college and they want to get closer to God is take a religious studies class. Sorry, folks, but I've been to a lot of campuses. And I remember the day an eager young lady approached us at our campus ministry book table at the University of California, Santa Barbara, on the heels of one such class. I'm not sure what it was called, Blasphemy 301 or Heresy 208, something like that. Leaning over our table, she said emphatically, and she was quite angry. She was really just shouting at us, "It is an established fact." Now, before I continue, before I go on, I should comment that usually when a person uses such enthusiastic words, I know I am not about to hear a genuine fact. I know I'm not going to hear anything that even remotely resembles a fact, but I still heard her out. It is an established fact that Jesus never claimed to be God, never claimed to be the Son of God, never claimed to be the Messiah. He was a member of the Essene community, and he taught nothing different, nothing original, nothing other than what he learned from them, what he learned from the Essenes. Now, if you've never heard of the Essenes, they were a Jewish cult that did exist at the time of Jesus. Unhappy with the direction of Israel, they somewhat annexed themselves from the rest of the nation, having very little something, but very little to do with the rest of the nation, and started a kind of commune up in the mountains. We get the Dead Sea Scrolls from the Essenes. You've probably heard of those. So I asked her, well, how do you know? How do you know Jesus was an Essene? I just heard this from my religious studies professor a few minutes ago in class. This was her proud answer. That's how I know. I think she was expecting this to end our conversation. I was supposed to fall out of my chair, enamored by the wisdom of her professor. Oh, well, a professor said it. Oh, you hadn't explained it like that. But that's not what I did. Instead, I just gently asked, how does he know? How do you know that he knows? Well, the man has a PhD in Christian studies, so I assume he knows what he's talking about. You're right, I said. You are assuming. It's an assumption. I could show you people who have PhDs in Christian studies, who have PhDs in textual criticism, archaeology, or ancient history, and they'll tell you something quite different. Then how will you know who's speaking the truth? Then I went on. I said, in fact, I've studied this era of ancient history myself, and I can guarantee you that there's no document that's ever been discovered that exists in any museum which says that Jesus was an Essene. If you know of such a document, I'd like you to tell me where it can be located, because I'd like to take a look at it. Seriously. Well, then the subject was changed. That's a common tactic. Change the subject, but try not to make it look like you're changing the subject. She says, well, if you're going to talk about history, we don't even know that Jesus ever really lived at all, for that matter. I says, oh, well, if we don't know that he lived at all, then how do you know for an established fact that he was in a scene? On another day, a student skeptic was really laying into me.
You Christians are so stupid. Always walking around with your little Bibles. Do you believe everything you read? Just because something's written in a book, that doesn't necessarily make it true. Step into the modern world. Besides, we know for a fact that the Genesis story is a myth.
Yeah, here we go again. Another fact. I says, oh, we know that for a fact, do we? Tell me, how do you know for a fact that the Genesis story is a myth? He stopped. He smiled. He took off his backpack. He pulled out his science textbook. He opened it up, jammed his finger down on the page and said, there you have it, in black and white. I said, really? Do you believe everything you read? Just because something's written in a book, that doesn't necessarily make it true. Step into the modern world. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we see a statement working both ways. Those are the first two questions. What do you mean? How do you know? The third question we can ask our skeptical friends. Question three, so what? Meaning, so what is the point you are making? And we will discuss this equally effective question next time on The Bob Siegel Show.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.